miserable condition entirely. The path of religion or the different kinds of sacrifice recommended above automatically solves our economic problems. By performance of yajna, we can have enough food, enough milk, etc., even if there is a so-called increase of population. When the body is fully supplied, naturally the next stage is to satisfy the senses. The Vedas prescribe, therefore, sacred marriage for the regulated sense gratification. Thereby, one is gradually elevated to the platform of release from material bondage. And the highest perfection of liberated life is to associate with the Supreme Lord. Perfection is achieved by the performance of yajna, sacrifice, as described above. Now, if a person is not inclined to perform yajna according to the Vedas, how can he expect a happy life even in this body? What to speak of another body or on another planet? There are different grades of material comforts in different heavenly planets, and in all cases there is immense happiness for a persons engaged in different kinds of yajna. But the highest kind of happiness that a man can achieve is to be promoted to the spiritual planets by practice of Krishna consciousness. A life of Krishna consciousness, therefore, a life of Krishna consciousness is therefore the solution to all the problems of material existence. Srila Prabhupada has made a lot of solutions to the world's pressing problems. In this world, people are debating about a lot of things which have been discussed in this purport. Oh, there is an increase in population. How can we actually feed these people? That's a big thing, big problem. I think Malthus or somebody like that said that by some time the world will be extinct because there will be no more food to eat. But I think we still survive. Malthus said sometime in this century that everything, all the food will be gone. But today I and you are here, the fact is, so we are still eating. But the real problems of life or the struggle for existence is something which is there in every species of life. An ant gets up in the morning and tries to find food, and day and night. A bird gets up in the morning, it's the same question. Where is food? And the human beings are also on the same platform. Ahara nitra bhayavaitanancha samanya metat pasuhina rana. Dharmo hi adhiko visheshata dharma hi na pasuhi samana. That eating, sleeping, mating and defending, these are the common activities both for the animals and human beings. But what is the speciality of the human life? Dharma. Dharmo hi adhiko visheshata. That dharma which is added to the human life makes human life what it is. Otherwise, a human life is nothing but an animal. Now, one may question, really, what is dharma? You are saying dharma, okay, big words, but what is actually dharma? Krishna and Srila Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavad Gita, dharma actually in the common terms means faith or a religion or an inclination towards a particular church or a particular temple or a cult or a way of life. But dharma, strictly speaking, is that characteristic within a particular being or a substance that becomes the root of the existence of that particular individual or a substance. Let me give you an example. You eat something, you take, somebody gives you, hey, taste this, and then you taste it. It's sweet. This is sugar, right? This is the natural thing. So if somebody gives you the same powder and you taste it and you say, and it's salty, will you say the same thing is sugar? No. Why? Because that sweetness is the inherent nature of sugar. Without that, there is no question of sugar existing or being called as sugar. So Prabhupada explains that dharma is something akin to that. Dharma is something which cannot be taken away, or which causes something to exist, is what is dharma. Now, for a human being or for a living entity, what is dharma then? Just some thoughts and answers. People who know, people who don't know. What for a human being, what is dharma? What is that cannot be taken away from a human being?
Inquiry.
Nice. Any other answer?
Doing one's own duty.
Doing one's own duty, another good answer.
Serving others,
wonderful. All nice answers. So the service is something which cannot be taken away from a human being or from the living entity. Try to analyze this world. Now we have full-fledged elections going on, right? I mean, the country is getting ready to elect a new president of this country. Really, what the people are telling, what the politicians are going around telling, hey, please give me your vote, I will serve you to the best of my capacity, right? A politician says, I'm going to serve people. And an employee says to the boss, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to offer you service. And then, you know, a mother serves the child. A husband serves the family. A businessman serves the customer. So that service is something which cannot be taken away from the jiva or a living entity. But that service needs a proper channel for the service to be fructified. Because everybody is serving. Like it or not, everybody is forced to serve. But nobody is happy in that service. Nobody is like fully satisfied in that service. Why? Because that service is not being directed towards the person to whom it's meant. That service, when it is reposited towards the Supreme Personality of God, it finds the perfection. And when Krishna mentions the various types of sacrifices, those sacrifices are meant for the living entities to be happy in this life and next. Because really, even one cannot live without performing one's duty. I was amazed, because these people, the politicians who are running for the president, they are doing amazing sacrifice. I heard they don't sleep, they are like on the road all the time, they are just on and on. And a mother here, she knows what sacrifice she has to do to raise a child. Practically, she has to give up her sleep. It's a sacrifice. And so people are forced to sacrifice. And through sacrifice itself, one achieves happiness. Because the service is something that gives happiness. Why does a man labor day and night to maintain his family? Because at the end of the day, when that particular maintenance happens, there is some joy out of it. When a man sees his family being properly taken care of, they get some satisfaction out of it. So that's the nature of the soul, to render service and to get some satisfaction. That is the dharma. That is the eternal dharma. But that dharma finds its true happiness when you serve Krishna, when it serves for a higher purpose. That is the real nature of happiness, of true people happiness. Because we have seen people, and history is abundant with examples of people who wanted the world for themselves and really ended up in a pretty tragic place, a tragic situation. History tells us. Hitler wanted to conquer the whole world. He wanted to enjoy this whole world. But we all know what happened to him. And there are cases, the history is replete with such innumerable examples of people who wanted to be actually the enjoyers of this world, but in fact it turned out to be like the opposite case. The happiness was not there. And that is true of so many people, we find it. People very notable in society or so many ways, but still that deep inside hunger is not satisfied by the external achievements and the external positions and the external fame and stuff. Why? Because this sacrifice, which Krishna mentions in this verse, is not happy. It's true. It's remarkably true. If you analyze it carefully, it's a fact. But when the same service is rendered to Krishna, then one becomes happy, becomes very joyful. At least on the basic level, and that pretty much all the religions agree, is at least when you get food, you offer it to God. You say, you know, because of you, I'm getting this foodstuff. Seriously, you can try, this society can advance, get the best, the most efficient microchip that there is out there. You still have to eat. You can't eat microchips or rubber tires. Sorry. Annad bhavanti bhutani parjanya anna sambhava. Krishna says, this is the rule. This is the way it is going to be. There are going to be rains. Rains are going to go grains. And you eat grains. Yes, I have done the most wonderful thing. Still you have to eat food. Hare Krishna. So this rules are enunciated by Lord himself. So that human beings can be happy. And now the question may arise, so why are people unhappy? Prabhupada says it's ignorance. It's ignorance of the fact that who we are. Everybody is born in the darkness of ignorance. Everybody is born in this material world with a view, I am this body, this is mine, this whole world is mine to enjoy. This is the concept. That's something which is inherent. But when one understands, when gets this knowledge, who am I? Where am I coming from? What is the goal of life? What's my purpose? How can I be happy? Then one actually comes to the platform of inquiry, as Shyam Leela Prabhu was so saying that. The nature of the nature is to inquire, where am I? What am I? Because everything is temporary. If you can see this world, the bodies are temporary, the positions are temporary. Everything in this world is just moving. It's just like some great force pushing this world. And the world is going on. But unless one comes to this understanding that why is this happening? Not the common phrase we find, why me? No, that's not the phrase. This thing is, why me and what can I do about it to avoid it? The spiritual life says that when we try to solve material problems, some might say, yes, I have a problem and this is a solution. I have this disease and I can take a vaccine and or some other medical treatment and can avoid it. Yes, fair enough. That's a good thing. But it's not permanent. There'll be some other disease. Man may be very, very proud that, oh, we have prevented polio, but there are so many other things they are waiting to happen. So the material life, as Prabhupada mentions, when we come to the human form of life, this is the chance to get out of this existence. Hridayam adyam sulabham sudurlabham. Bhagavatam says, Hridayam adyam, this human body is rarely achieved. Sudurlabham. Hridayam adyam sulabham sudurlabham. Sulabham sukalpam guru karmadaram. Maya, and Bhagavatam says that the winds, the scriptures are like the favorable winds, and the captain is the ocean. The captain of the ship is that spiritual master. Because if we are going on a boat, say from one place to another, of course, in this time we have power generated stuff. I mean, we have ships which are generated, which are powered by like nuclear or whatever. But previously there would be only winds, and you know, favorable winds. And a captain who would guide the ship properly can take you from one place to another. So this material body is like that. It's like it's a favorable ship. But how we use it, up to us. Because there is a concept of free will. You know, when we go, this temple is known for book distribution. Most of the members go out on book distribution. So we offer book to many people, and some people accept it, some people don't. There are so many reasons why that happened, but at least there is a chance given for the people to understand what this is all about, what the spiritual life is all about, to help eradicate that ignorance, which Prabhupada says so keenly points out. It's just like you come to California from some different place. You have not driven here. You take the car, you buy a car. Somehow or other you get a car. You don't buy a car without a license. But somehow you get a car. You take it on the road, and then if you are in ignorance, you are going to commit an accident. Oh, there is a green light. Let's stop. Red light, go. Ignorance, you don't know. Because of ignorance, you may commit accident. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada says, because of ignorance, we commit sinful activities. And that sinful activities will cause another body. In this way, we take on different bodies. Enjoying or suffering for the results of activities. Because people say, God is cruel. He creates some people in a very, very nice places, very nice families, rich, opulent. And he creates some people right in Africa or some other place where there is really not even much to eat. Why is this? Because this human body is going through many, many births. Birth after birth, the human body goes on, enjoying suffering. Unless one comes out of this fact that I need to get out of this existence. This existence is not real. And the soul seeks stability. The soul wants eternal things. You can see it. We seek stability in job. We seek stability in relationships. We seek stability in so many things. Why? Because the soul wants stable. The soul doesn't want change. But the change is forced upon us in the material life. That's the nature of the material life. But as one performs sacrifice, as one tries to advance in devotional service, as one gets into more of association with devotees, then one kind of tries to say, yeah, this is not the right place. Maybe there is a way out of it, and this is the way. And that realization will dawn. It's not an artificial process. It's not something to do with something, oh, he put on the mind, like something I need to kind of ingrain myself. No. Spirit soul is a natural existence of a living being. And when one comes into the process of devotional service, automatically the external things are washed off, the dirty things are washed off, and the spirit soul reveals its true nature. Just like a diamond, which is found in the diamond. Initially, it's like nothing but a stone. But when you polish it, when you nicely cut it in the hands of expert craftsmen, that shining diamond will come out. The diamond was there. It's not something the diamond was made. Similarly, the spirit soul has a natural tendency to love Krishna. It's not something artificial. Chaitanya Charitamrita says that the tendency to love Krishna is natural, is inherent within the living soul. It is just when we hear and chant that tendency comes out. That is what Krishna consciousness movement is all about. Help that spirit soul to awaken its natural love for Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in this age, he has made this very, very simple. Because previously, we have come to this point, there is something called self-realization, there is something called I am a spirit soul, what do I do? How do I advance? So in previous ages it was that in Satya Yuga, the lifespan was 100,000 years. So when we listen to the stories, oh, that great sage performed meditation for thousands of years, it's not a myth. He performed, because there were thousands, the lifespan was 100,000 years. So if they performed 10,000 years, it's just like 10 years. Just like a student, he studies about 20, 25 years in his life, till you complete right from the primary. They studied 20 years. Wow, that's almost one-fifth of life. So one-fifth of 100,000 years is like 20,000 years. Nothing big. So at that time, the lifespan was 100,000 years. Meditation on the Supreme Personality of God was the means to achieve the goal of life. Satya, then came Treta Yuga. Satya Yuga was pure. It was completely mode of goodness. People were not like, this was completely unvarnished. There were no greed, nothing. Then came, so from Satya came Treta. The lifespan reduced by a factor of 10. So the lifespan of a human being reduced came by 10,000 years. And then
What was the process of achieving self-realization?
Yajnas, huge yajnas, mantras, Vedas, Brahmanas, huge sacrifices, and the Brahmanas were very qualified. They had to pronounce it exactly according to the rhyme and meter. Everything was. In this age, it's a little tough, honestly. Having huge sacrifice, where we have time. We have to get up in the morning, run, go to work, go to this, go to that. Where is the time, seriously? Not possible. So anyways, that was the time. Then, from Satya, Treta, Dwapar Yuga, the lifespan reduced by another factor of 10, so 1000 years. That time, the realization or the means of achieving perfection was to go to temple, have very, very opulent deity worship, very, very wise, first class deity worship. Now also it may be a little tough in this age. Deity worship goes on, but still it's tough. Now Kali Yuga, by that, and the gradation of yugas, all the vices start coming in. People start quarreling, people get greedy. There are so many other vices they start picking. Kali Yuga is like ocean of faults, ocean of all the amalgamation of different sort of vices that come, they come in Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga dosha nidhe rajan. It's a treasure. Nidhi means treasure, but it's a negative treasure. Just like we have negative debts. Oh, he has like $100 billion. All of them are debts. Plus he has to pay extra interest rate on top of it. What's the use of having 100,000? Kali Yuga dosha nidhe rajan. So in this age, Kali Yuga, this ocean of faults, really, what is a good quality of this age? Mahaprabhu came and he said, just chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. What is achieved in Treta, in Satya with meditation, in Treta with sacrifice, in Dwapar with temple worship, in Satya, in Kali Yuga, you get this. You get the same perfection. The Lord descends Himself in His complete incarnation in the form of Kali Yuga. Krishna's energies are invested completely in His holy name. And Krishna, there are no hard and fast rules to chant. You don't have to be born in a particular high class family. You don't have to be born, there's no like murta. Oh yes, let us remember. Murta. No, anytime you can chant. It's easy. The process is easy and it's sublime. And what's more, the name of Krishna, He's even merciful than Krishna Himself. Because if we commit an offense at lotus feet of Krishna, by chanting the names of Krishna, that offenses are vanquished. Hari sthane aparade tare hari naam. That is the merciful nature of holy name of Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, he made things extremely simple. He said, take this name, chant it, and be happy. And what more? By chanting the names of God, you are not only achieving love of God, but you are just this secondary aspect of a human being performing his or her sacrifice is complete. And Krishna says, if you perform sacrifice, you will be happy. By chanting the names of Krishna, you will be happy because that is a sacrifice for this age of Kali. So, because Krishna Himself says, without sacrifice, how can you be happy? Right? Without doing some good, how can you be happy? So? Yes, Prabhu.
Then why do we need to do still deity worship in this yoga? Why do we still have to temple deity worship going on?
Srila Prabhupada, he wanted to start a worldwide mission of having devotees coming together and have a good association of devotees. And with this purpose, he started the temples. And the deity worship, he wanted the devotees to be engaged in serving, in thinking Krishna and serving Krishna 24 hours. And when you chant the names of Krishna, you can chant
if you are an exalted Paramahamsa, you can chant 24 hours the name of Krishna and you don't have to do deity worship. Because that was the position of Thakur Haridas. He practically never entered into the temple of Jagannath Puri because he was born in a Mohammedan family and he said that I'm not going to enter, and it was etiquette at that time. But 24 hours he was chanting. But Srila Prabhupada specifically introduced the deity worship so that the devotees can be engaged in serving Krishna in one way or other. Because he knew that the devotees in the early stages cannot do 24 hours chanting, he wanted to give deity worship, an elaborate deity worship. Somehow or other, they are engaged in serving Krishna. And that was his mood, specifically to establish the temples. That's the reason he established temples. Thank you. You want to add anything to that, Shyamalila Prabhu?
I think another view can be that actually by engaging the deity worship, all these things, like I don't remember exactly, in the Nectar of Devotion there are four things which are said that you remember probably?
Five.
That we should actually engage in four things. So one is like using the eyes in seeing the Lord. So like that Prabhupada has given all those four things that Rupa Goswami has mentioned there. So that is why the deity worship is also there, and Srimad Bhagavatam class is there, and chanting of the holy name, and one more thing is there. I don't remember.
Thank you.
Yeah, that is another view probably.
Yeah, that's another point also. Yes, yes, please.
So basically, all we need is chanting, but everything else helps us chant.
Yes, if the there are five processes. I'll come to you. There are five main. There are 64 items in devotional service, according to Rupa Goswami. Amongst those 64 are five extremely important activities of devotional service: chanting the names, worshipping the deities, reading Bhagavatam, staying in Mathura, and approaching spiritual master. No? Association of devotees. So five. So amongst those five, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asked, what is the most important? So chanting means. So if one is in a position that where one is so attached to chanting that you don't want to do anything else, pretty much you have achieved perfection in spiritual life. But in the early stages it may not be possible. So we have so many other things. For the deity, for the householders, as Prabhu so rightly pointed out, it's important that we have deity worship at home. So that's the whole reason we have like the deity worship. Plus, it's so beautiful. Radha Madan Mohan Ji are so beautiful. Yeah. Having this, dressing them up, offering them. Yes. Sorry, can I get Venki Prabhu and then I come to you. Yes, Mate.
My understanding, please correct me if I'm wrong. It is true that all these, what you said, Mr. Mano, all the Satyuga, and for Kaliyuga, it's because the Kaliyuga just started finding it. So the little bit, the video is still going on. It's what it was in. Dwapar Yuga was the perfect bath and so many mantras and so many things, very strict rules and regulations. Now it's a little bit slagged and still going on because we have just started. But as we proceed and go further in Kali Yuga, only Naam Sankirtan will be left.
So Kali Yuga started 500 years ago or 5000 years ago?
5000,
oh yeah,
5000
years ago. 500 years ago, 10 years ago. I'm sorry.
They just started.
Yeah.
420,000.
Yeah.
Nice. Because
the
was
Mahaprabhu. Yeah,
Mahaprabhu. Very nice.
Is it correct probably or not?
I think Bhagavatam does tell that practically at the end of Kali, it goes pretty deep into Kali Yuga, and at the end of Kali, practically there are no houses or there is no discussion of God going on. So, at the end of Kali, it's pretty much what Mataji said, is there will be absolutely no temples, no discussion of God. People in general become extremely atheistic. But I don't know the answer to the question in the immediate future if the temples will be there or not. It's hard to pray. I didn't read anywhere where it is mentioned that. So I'm sorry, I can't.
For next 9,500 years are
okay.
Yeah. That's what it is said. Mahaprabhu comes, the 10,000 years of Kali Yuga is the golden age. It's still protected. Yes.
Actually double benefit. One is the spiritual benefit that comes from inside, and then also I find physical benefit. Like if there is any stress or there are some thoughts on the mind, it just goes away, it cleanses the mind, reduces the stress, no need for any pills or anything. It just brings the calmness and it removes the stress. And of course the deities brings focus. So this comment was again, it brings double benefit, the spiritual as well as spiritual.
I'm glad you find the double benefit.
No negative side effects.
No negative side effects, yeah.
So. Nice. But the main goal of chanting is stretching love of Krishna. In the advanced stage of chanting, your mind becomes really very stressed out. Mahaprabhu, when he was staying in Puri, he was day and night crying in separation for Krishna. His anxiety was so great that he wanted to. It's a very advanced stage. You're right. Initially, it calms down, but as we advance, your mind becomes very, very agitated because the love of Krishna really is such a thing that agitates your mind. Thank you for your point. Yes.
We can also think it like this, that actually the impersonalism is very much prevailing in this age. So people just think that actually there are many people who are just doing sacrifices, like Arya Samaji. You know, they don't believe in the existence of Krishna. All this is myth. And this is like this. So one of the reasons was also when we say that, you know, we sing Prabhupada Ranti, right? Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Pashari Nirvishesha Shunyavani. So Prabhupada wanted to actually throw out all the dualism and Mayavad concept. So that is one of the also important things, that if there are deities, and Prabhupada actually explained that these deities are not actually idols, they are not just made of clay or marble, but actually the Supreme Lord is residing in the deities. And whenever Prabhupada did the deity installation, he said actually it is not the yajna which made the Lord come and reside in the deities, but it is actually the chanting of the holy names. So still he emphasized that the chanting of the holy names is very important, but he also said that that the Lord actually mercifully comes and resides in the deities, and he takes our service. So it is a very easy way of getting purified, and as we get purified more and more, then we develop more taste for chanting the holy name. So it is actually like a positive feedback loop. We serve the devotees, we serve the Lord, and by serving the devotees, we get more purified and we get more taste for the name. Then we do more service and then we get more taste. So like this, like Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam, so it keeps on increasing and increasing and increasing.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments?
this Kali Yuga concept, is it there in other religions of the world?
Concept.
Or Yuga.
I honestly, I did not read a lot of other religious scriptures, but I don't know.
I don't think it exists in any other religion. Maybe in Indian religions, yes. Like probably Jainism.
But because, see, most of the religions, they have like pretty known date in the history in the past. Right? Islam started at a certain time, Christianity started at a certain time. But when the Indian scriptures, when the Bhagavatam refers, it refers to the topics that happened millions of years ago. So I'm not sure if that whole thing is incorporated into their scriptures or not.
Because I think they also talk about just one lifetime, they don't talk about multiple lifetimes for a person. Most of them.
Yeah, at least Christianity doesn't believe in it.
Islam doesn't believe in it.
I don't know. भगवद गीता की शिला प्रभुपाद की जय।